Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano. Yeah!
It is Dom time, and I guess the word coming out of last night, how many times was this guy's name said? Lankford, the Republican who gave them cover. Now, he's a conservative from Oklahoma. That's the guy with the dumb bipartisan border bill that we heard so much about. And even with that, walls could not move away from what Vance was doing masterfully last night. I know the obvious highlight of the debate is the mic check, turning off the mic. We have to move on. We're always moving on. How many times have we talked about these debates? There are really three or four things the American people want to hear about. You know, I saw, we didn't talk about China. We didn't talk about Ukraine. Yeah, they're all important. Of course, we have to talk about climate. We have to go down the healthcare thing again. And by happenstance, we have to end with January 6th. You knew that's where it was going to go. How about spending more time when we really started to go back and forth on inflation and the border? How about saying we're going to spend 20 minutes on each one of those at least? That's how you get at something. That's how you see a Tim Walz fold even more. I thought the highlight last night, O'Reilly, I was watching the Post coverage, said he thought that Vance humanized himself. Now, we could say he could have obliterated Walz more. I agree, but that's not what he was after. He did humanize himself despite all the attacks that are out there. He made several points. He focused on Harris, not on Walz. And the thing where the fact checkers, without saying they were checking facts, they said it is just a fact. It's incontrovertible. Prattling on about, well, those Haitians are legal, as if J.D. Vance doesn't know that. We'll play that for you. But they didn't want to fact check the contention that went back and forth on abortion. And it shows you the bias and the uphill battle. I think J.D. Vance did a great job of saying, I understand people don't trust Republicans on this issue. We have to do better. Patted his heart several times, talked about someone who gave him her story and an abusive relationship and how he felt about that. Talked about his changes in this masterfully. Other Republicans should be doing the same thing. But then he made the point that in Minnesota, however you slice it, the bottom line is the option is there for the doctors and the alleged parents, if the baby survives that abortion, to allow it to die, not to come to its rescue. I wonder how they do that. Do they place it somewhere so they can't hear anything? And the data that we're always talking about shows that eight babies expired in that manner. Scott Jennings on CNN made a lot of that point. Wouldn't it be good with all that back and forth that went on for a good bit on abortion to hear a fact check there? It's got to be somebody who electronically would tell them, yes, that's what the law is in Minnesota, but they don't want to do that. Because on the abortion issue, it's just there to take Republicans out of the game. And when Republicans try to make a point in the manner that Vance did, how extreme a guy like Walz and Harris are, they're not allowed to do that. They're dismissed. There's no fact check. There's no reading of the law. There's no data. There's no nothing. If there was any equity, that would have been the point to do that. So, in the grand scheme of things, what does this matter? Well, it matters in a couple of different ways, I think. One, it makes Vance much more of a human figure as he moves forward, takes away all the nonsense they were doing with them. It diminishes Walls. And I'll make the point again and again and again. This would have been a heck of a fight last night if you had in one corner J.D. Vance and in the other corner Josh Shapiro. That would have been an hellacious battle. But you didn't have Shapiro, A, because of the anti-Israel, anti-Semitism of the Democrat Party, and B, because Harris would be upstaged by Shapiro. It's obvious. So I want to do two things with that. One, thank God he's not in there because it ups our chances to win Pennsylvania. But two, it underlines what this party's all about. What's remarkable about Walls? Walls, remember, was being touted with a camo hat and eating all the food and the football coach as somebody who was going to stoke the fires of rural Democrats, particularly men. Did Walls look like he could do that last night? No, not even a little bit. And J.D. Vance, while not being necessarily given all the media baggage about him, the ideal candidate for females, I think by any fair estimation, held his own last night with women voters that might have said, you know, I thought this guy was completely out there. And he's not that bad. I'm not saying they're going to give endorsement or whatever. It also raises the question, and I'm getting killed on Twitter at DomShow1210. Should President Trump agree to another debate on Fox? Bill O'Reilly will be here in about 10 minutes. And I'll ask him that. I think he's talked to Trump extensively around this. In other words, a closing argument. Saddens me on Twitter, the number of people that go, no, I don't think Trump could do that. Now, Vance is very accomplished, but didn't he show last night how you can handle the fact-checking? He didn't go over the top after them. He could have gone even more after them and gone to the first debate, but I think he handled it beautifully. In fact, here's how it sounded. Here is the contention when Vance says, yeah, the Haitians are here legally, but you have to factor in, that's with a stroke of the pen by Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Is that really legal? Is that really following the process of citizenship? This is cut six.
Governor, and just to clarify for our viewers, Springfield, Ohio does have a large number of Haitian migrants who have legal status. Temporary protected status.
Well, Margaret, but
thank you, Senator. We have so much to get to.
Margaret, I think it's important
we're
because
we're going to turn out of the economy. Debate, thank
Margaret,
you,
Margaret. The rules were that the you economy, guys weren't going to fact check, and since you're fact checking me, I think it's important to say what's actually going on. So there's an application called the CBP One app, where you can go on as an illegal migrant, apply for asylum or apply for parole, and be granted legal status at the wave of a Kamala Harris open border wand. That is not a person coming in, applying for a green card and waiting for 10 years. That
Thank
is
you,
the
Senator.
Facilitation of illegal immigration, Margaret, by
Thank
our
you,
own
Senator,
leadership.
Thank you, Senator, for describing the legal process.
Laws,
we have
Kamala
so
Harris
much to get to, Senator.
Pathway.
Those
we
laws
have, so
have been
much
on the book since 1990.
Thank you.
The app has not been on the books
since 1990. It's something that Kamala Harris created, Margaret.
Gentlemen, the audience can't hear you because your mics are cut. We have so much we want to get to. Thank you for explaining the legal process. Nora, thank you.
That was called mansplaining, of course, on MSNBC. They went on for a half hour about that. It's always we have so much to get to. No, you don't. Not the things that people really care about. As a moderator, when you get to the point where there's a point of contention of something major like this, you have to let it breathe. You have to let both people go back and forth. If you're going to interject with a fact check, you can't say we have to move on. How many times do we go through this? There's not enough time. Then do longer debates. You got to cut down the subjects. You can't be talking about all kinds of things related to damage control and things of that nature. All right. Bill O'Reilly is in the on-deck circle. It's 855-839-1210. AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is just push pound 1210. I'll give you the side question today after O'Reilly. But jump on board right now with Dom on Talk Radio 1210. All right, nobody better that I can bring you in the country, I think, to break this down, at least looking into the mind of President Trump and where this goes next here on the Dom Giordano Show. And just for overall being on the point, given so many vantage points that he's occupied. The new book just out in September, Confronting the President. We've talked with Bill O'Reilly about that before, and it's just a fact. No matter how much you know about the presidents, you are going to learn and maybe even be challenged by and challenged back the observations of O'Reilly and the historian who puts these books together with them. Let's bring in Bill O'Reilly here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bill, welcome in. The big O'Reilly takeaway last night that I was following pretty closely is J.D. Vance humanized himself, didn't go overboard here, was very skillful in this. Is that the biggest observation?
Yeah, for me, because that's what I did in confronting the presidents. I humanized all 45 men. And some of them were, it was pretty difficult, Dom, to humanize LBJ. I mean, my God.
Oh, yeah.
But that is very important, particularly in this age of social media, that you are demonized, and certainly Vance has been, and he was able to get by that. And I'll give you a few bullet points, and then you can follow up. So one of the themes of confronting the presidents is that if Americans don't know who they're voting for, they are most likely making a mistake. The worst presidents were the ones that people knew nothing about. And I equate that to Kamala Harris, avoiding all exposure to any forum that might hold her accountable for what she has done. Now, there was a snap poll after the CBS debate. The poll said that Vance won the debate by 1 point. But that snap poll was totally useless, because it was all people believing what they want to believe, not what took place before them. And Americans should know this, that most people are not capable of evaluating anything objectively. Everything is emotional. So if you look at the debate from a historical point of view, which I did, and of course I'll report it on my No Spin News on BillO'Reilly.com in a journalistic way tonight, but as a historian, there are two yardsticks about who wins a debate, a presidential or vice presidential debate. Number one, who helped their ticket more? Is there any doubt who helped their ticket more last night?
No.
There is. Vance helped the Trump-Vance ticket more than Walz helped the Kamala Harris ticket. It wasn't that Walz was bad. It was that he was predictable and a little bit befuddled. Okay, so he said what he memorized, and okay, and there are millions of people who believe that, but he didn't rise up. There were no moments for him. Whereas Vance set the agenda. He was pleasant. He was authoritative. He answered most of the questions. He dodged the 2020 election. All right. So he helped his ticket more than Walz. The other one is, who looked more presidential? Who?
Well, Vance.
Now,
I mean, it's an obvious.
Yeah. In Tehran, all right, and yeah. You know that, you know, life is going to get really difficult now with war and violence and murder and mayhem. Who do you want to go up against, Vance or Walz? Come on.
Yeah, exactly right. So, Bill, moving forward with this, I'm very interested in your take, or if you've been talking to President Trump. I still think, does Trump get it? He can do. He's not Walz. He's not Vance in a debate. Very few people, policy, are going to be on that. But it's not that hard to turn the tables on those moderators, as Vance did.
Right. Vance was very good with Margaret Brennan. because she absolutely misstated immigration law. He was much kinder to her than I would have been. I'll tell you that. Now, Trump doesn't talk to me. I haven't talked to him in a long time. He's mad at me because I'm actually covering the campaign in a fair way, and he doesn't want that. He wants 100%, I'm the greatest guy that ever lived. That's what Donald Trump wants. If you deviate out of that, he doesn't like that. And I don't care. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I have a job to do, and I'm going to do it. So I don't have any access to Trump at this point. He may call tonight in the middle of the night, possible. Vance did an interview with me, and I want every bit of Google O'Reilly Vance and look at it. He answered the questions. And that's all I require. I don't have to agree with you. If anything you're wrong, I'll tell you, but look, just answer the questions, and we can get some information flow out.
So, Bill, are you still in the camp, though, that Trump should do the debate, particularly if it's on Fox or wherever it is, that he has it within him? My listeners are saying, no, don't do the debate. He can't do it. Now, he's done well in his own way in other debates. You mean to say he couldn't do what Vance did in his own way last night when it came to the fact-checking, et cetera?
No, he couldn't do what Vance did. It's impossible for him to do it. He's not disciplined enough to do it.
So you would say strategically, don't do another debate.
No. If I were Trump, I would do another debate. But from what I understand, the Republican internal polling says Trump's going to win. And he has bought into that. Now, I've got a guy on tonight from Brazil who runs Atlas Polling. Atlas Polling was the most accurate in 20. And this guy, he's pretty smart. And nobody's ever heard of him. And I'm putting that on tonight. But I know for a fact that the Trump people think they have it. So their thinking is, why risk anything? We're ahead. I don't know whether, you know, that's what they believe. So if you look at all the polling comes in, it's all over the place. But it's, you know, he's winning by two, he's down by one, he's this, he's that. You can't. This Atlas guy is going to be a good interview because he's going to give me an overview of trends. And then trends with 5 weeks out are very important. I would do the interview because I believe that Trump's record for 4 years is way superior to Biden-Harris. It's not even in a ball game, and I could handle 3-1 or whatever it would be. Harris is never going to do Fox ever, so Fox is out of the equation. It's not going to happen. 60 Minutes now was going to do them both, and Trump's saying, no, I'm not going to do it unless they apologize for the Hunter Biden laptop. I'm not sure that's the right strategy, but when I looked at what 60 Minutes is putting on, they're putting Whitaker on Harris. Whitaker's not a tough guy. He's not Mike Wallace. Everybody knows that. And then he wants Pelley on Trump. Pelley's 100 times tougher.
Yeah, exactly. Unfair on that.
If I'm Trump and I'm saying you're giving Harris a cupcake and you're giving me your toughest boy who doesn't like me, Pelley doesn't like him, why would I do it? I understand it, but I would still do it because I have the record. And if Trump would just fall back on that record and knock the emotional stuff out, the unfairness out, the anger out. I know that's easy for me to say. He has a perfect right to be angry. There's not been one other president in our history, Dom, except for Abraham Lincoln, who's more vilified than Donald Trump.
Yeah, without a doubt. Bill, one other thing last night. I thought this was a game plan going forward. Maybe these Republicans can't execute it on the issue of abortion, because I think that Vance has been in the classic position before this, but I thought he handled that beautifully last night, and he gave the way forward for how to handle this. He wasn't given an opportunity, though. They didn't fact check what goes on in Minnesota, where doctors have the right, if the baby survives, to determine what to do. That's a fact.
Yeah, and Walt signed that bill. He changed the bill.
He changed
that mandated
it. Right.
A doctor has to try to save the baby's life, and Walt lied about it. So, yeah, but there was no fact check, supposedly, in that debate. That was one of the rules that Brennan broke when she hit Vance on the Columbia, Ohio thing. And Vance scolded her, and rightly so. And she made her look foolish. So Walz is an abortion zealot. Very simple question was asked of the governor. Do you support terminating a fetus in the ninth month? He wouldn't answer it. Well, that's an answer.
Exactly.
Because 99 out of 100 civilized human beings would say, no, I don't.
Bill,
99 out of 100 human beings say, I don't support, unless the woman's going to die or the baby's going to die. It's got to be that catastrophic.
Bill, picture for a moment, too, what it says about Harris and the Democrat Party. Josh Shapiro and I have crossed swords. I can't tell you how many times, but if he were there last night with Vance, that would have been a heck of a debate. And I don't know that we would win Pennsylvania, and yet they couldn't tag him in.
Well, I don't think Walz is a good pick, if that's what you're asking
yes.
me.
I don't know
Shapiro. I don't know about this we business, Don. I don't want to be associated with any political party myself.
I hear you. Yeah.
I think they're all pinheads. I'm trying to get who's going to hurt the country least. That's what I'm getting. But anyway, I don't see what Walz brings at all.
No, nothing.
A folksy guy who doesn't know he wasn't in Tiananmen Square. I mean, that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
I can be a knucklehead. Well, I don't know if we want a knucklehead going up against Putin. I don't know if we want one like that.
Yeah, exactly. Bill, one other question about your book. With the book out now and all the rounds you've been doing, I saw you with the Hoover interview and some of the others. What is it that has come up in this? Is there any insight you have now, further insight, about what you're being asked about the presidents?
Most of the interviews have been very good because most of the interviews are ers, like you, have read at least part of the book, and they are curious about what I'm putting on the page. And that's why the book is number one on the New York Times list. And, you know, that brings those people over at the Times great joy, Dom. It's the 19th time my name has been at the top of that list. And then every time, I'm sure they go out and celebrate. Oh, right, it's got another number one Times bestseller. We love that. This press that I have done is 95% fair, and the questions are intelligent. It's not a lot of stupidity. I'm not doing the morning shows. I'm not doing the people who make the omelets every morning. I'm not doing them. PBS was disgraceful, but that's PBS. And that was my fault because I know they're disgraceful. Did you watch the Frontline documentary comparing Trump with Harris? They brought in 15 people, Frontline did, who were anti-Trump. 1-5. They brought in no one who was anti-Harris. That is a disgrace. PBS and NPR are disgraceful, fraudulent, and they are getting $550 million a year from the taxpayer. It's unbelievable, that corruption, that level of corruption.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, thank you again, as always. And soon we'll be talking, too, about great stuff for Christmas. And this book ranks right up there. I say it all the time. For people that know a good bit about the presidents, it's even better. I mean, I just couldn't believe some of the details. You know, we've talked about Grant. We talked about the number that died of dysentery or something like that. You just don't see that in any other book.
And Vance looks exactly like U.S. Grant.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Look at the picture. I got a Grant in the book. Look at Vance. They could be twins.
You know, and they're about the same height. They're about the same kind of build. Everything about them is U.S. Grant. I guess that's good.
Yeah. So anyway, Dom, I really appreciate all the help. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome, Bill. Take care. Bill O'Reilly here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, you heard that insight now about the Trump campaign having internal polling indicating they believe now that they have the momentum to win. So why do it? Now, I haven't heard that anywhere else, that that's how dead set they are on this. God knows what they have or what they believe in. I'm still believing it comes down to Pennsylvania. coming down to going to be incredibly tight. I'd rather react that way than believe, well, we're just running out the clock here. All right, coming up, we're going to talk with one of the Republican that sits on the Philadelphia commissioners who run the election in Philadelphia. Yesterday, we had this stir because I'm going to find out how many people got these envelopes, the secrecy envelope that was stuck to the other envelope, and what to do about it. But I'm also going to probe a little bit about when will we know the Philadelphia vote is counted on election night? In other words, what's reasonable? Isn't 24 hours reasonable? Is it going to take longer than that based upon everything? All right, so it's rare we get one of the commissioners on who actually run the vote in Philadelphia. And we have this controversy. About 10,000 ballots went out, and a number of them were ballots that were adhered to the secrecy ballot somehow or another. How did that happen? Have they gotten to the bottom of it? All right, we'll talk to the commissioner next. Here's how you get in, though. 855-839-1210. And O'Reilly, I haven't heard him say that anywhere else. The Trump people believe their internal polling indicates where the momentum is, and they feel more certain than we've been led on that they're going to win. That's a good feeling. All right, and that's one poll. That's our internal poll. Might be very detailed. 855-839-1210, you get on board. Let's talk Batteries Plus Bulbs for a moment. At Batteries Plus Bulbs in Mount Laurel and Northfield, my friend Roy is looking for help. Now, this is a great business. Roy started the first Batteries Plus Bulbs in the area. Now he has two of them, and they have everything that you need for anything, or they'll get it easily for you. But in addition to that, customer service, anything with tech, not just your phone, it could be literally anything. They power it, they light it, and they fix it. That's the main thing going on here. So with all that business that we've been sending them, they need some more help. They'd like a handy do-it-yourselfer would be ideal. Great low-pressure part-time job. Customer service is the key. If you're willing to do what it takes to help, you need to talk to Roy. I'll give you the number, 856-638-0778, 856-638-0778. Give him a call, join the team there. They power it, they light it, and they fix it. You give a call, too. Whatever the tech issue is, Batteries Plus Bulbs, Mount Laurel and Northfield. Okay, it is Dom time. We're on top of what's going on here in Pennsylvania, where we actually have some ability to really influence and the outcome. And yesterday we started to hear these reports of some envelopes and the tweet that was put out by the Pennsylvania State Department about due to humidity in Pennsylvania. Whoa, that caught our attention. Some of these are sticking with these or sealed shut with the secrecy envelope. Joining us to break that down, but I have a lot of other things to talk with the commissioner about. He is the minority, the Republican representative on the commissioners who run elections, among other things, in Philadelphia. Commissioner Seth Bluestein is with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Commissioner, welcome back, Seth, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dom. Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, Seth, tell me, what is it exactly now? Can you pinpoint what happened? Do you have any idea of the numbers of these ballots that went out?
Well, we mailed out to the entire applicant pool of Philadelphia voters 150,000 mail ballots that have been requested so far.
Okay.
And those ballots.
By the way, Seth, to interrupt, is that about normal? You were on the board then, weren't you, in 2020? Is that about the normal number at this point? I've heard that these things in Philadelphia might be down a little bit.
Yeah, applications for mail ballots are down compared to 2020. A lot of voters who voted by mail at that time have returned to voting in person.
Okay.
Yeah, so those ballots were mailed out last week and started arriving in mailboxes over the weekend. And as you know, Friday and Saturday, it was raining in Philadelphia and the general southeast area of Pennsylvania. And some of the ballots, if there was exposure to moisture, some of the envelopes, I should say, the glue on the inner envelopes may be a little bit stickier than one would want.
Okay, so were they stuck together? Is that what happened?
Yeah, so the envelope flap just sealed to itself in transit for some of the ballots, for some of the envelopes. I don't have an exact number, but what we do know is 15,000 voters have already returned their mail ballots, so about 10% of what was mailed out has already come back in. So this is clearly not a universal problem. It seems to me to be pretty low-scale impact.
Okay, and you've put out what people can do. There are several things they can do around that. But you're absolutely certain on that, then, that this wasn't something, say, in an office and they got stuck to... We know that it was the rain, you believe.
Yes.
Do you anticipate that that would happen again, though? I mean, it can rain any number of times.
Well, it's really just the small amount of the ballots that were exposed to the elements. It was not all of them. And the bulk of those ballots have already gone out. So we don't expect a significant increase in mail ballot applications. Even if another 30 or 40,000 applications are approved and ballots mailed out, over the next couple of weeks, we don't really expect to see that type of experience again.
Okay. Wanted to ask you, and I know this is pretty difficult, if you can, we have better machinery. You guys know more what you're doing. You learn all the time from each election. We have money put in to be tagging one team in, as I understand it, the counting goes on. What's your sense among the commissioners that you could tell the public is a reasonable window to have the Philadelphia result done? In other words, when the polls close at 8 o'clock, Seth, that night, is it reasonable to think by 8 o'clock the next night, based upon projections and wargaming this and all? What's reasonable? Because I don't want to put you in conflict with Al Schmidt, but he's out there, I guess, trying to lower expectations and seeming to suggest it could be quite a while before Pennsylvania's done. How about Philadelphia?
I think it's a very important question, so I want to get into it a little bit
sure.
with some detail and nuance, if that's
okay.
all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So officially, the timeline for counting votes overall, in person, by mail, provisional ballot, Pennsylvania law gives us 2 weeks for every vote to get counted. That's the way it's always been. So the question that is being asked is really, when will enough of those votes be counted for the race to be called, right? People want to know who the winner is going to be, even if it's unofficial and it's just the networks calling a race. So in 2020, that happened the Saturday after the election. There's a couple things in our favor, as you mentioned. One, we have more and faster technology. We have more experience counting the ballots. And as I said, applications for mail ballots are lower than they were in 2020. So all of those things combined will allow us to have those ballots get counted faster. Whether or not the race is able to be called will really come down to the margin of the election. If one of the candidates is winning by 100,000 votes or 150,000 votes, that is a lot different than a candidate being in the lead by 10,000 votes. So to be very direct with you, will the majority of Philadelphia's mail ballots be in the result totals by 8 p.m. on election night? The answer to that is no.
Right.
We are going to have 150,000 to 200,000 mail ballots. It will take more than those 12 to 14 hours to get those ballots counted. But we are not going to stop. We will be counting around the clock, starting at 7 a.m. on election day, through the night going into Wednesday, until we are able to canvass every single ballot.
Can you give us an idea of the speed of the machines? I know we're really getting granular, but I mean, that's what this is coming down to. The process, how many votes are you processing? And then do you go back and do it a second time, Seth, or how does that work?
Yeah, so it's not really about the speed of the machines. The tabulators that actually scan the results from the ballots are all very fast. There still requires a manual human process, though, to counting these ballots. The first thing we do is we have to review each envelope to ensure that they are signed and dated. Mm-hmm. That's a human task. And when we are removing the ballots from the envelopes, even though we have machinery to assist with that, there's still a human element to actually removing those ballots. And then the part that takes the most time is unfolding the ballot. I mean, those ballots are folded and put in the envelopes, and you actually have to unfold and flatten every single ballot.
Right.
So if you think about, let's estimate 200,000 mail ballots for easy math. What that means is between the outer envelope, the secrecy envelope, and the ballot, humans have to handle 600,000 pieces of paper. It's a lot of work to count those ballots. So it does take some time to do it right and to make sure it's being done with integrity. And that's what we're going to do. We will make sure that every single vote gets counted. It's counted accurately, and we will do it as efficiently as possible.
And all the votes are counted in one spot?
Yes.
Okay. And how do the votes get there, Seth? I mean, I hate to be so granular, but I mean, you know, we're trying to be as transparent as possible. And that's why I'm glad you came on today. How do the votes arrive there? We know the ones that are mailed in and they're brought to you. How does that work?
Yeah, so there's two ways that voters can return their mail ballots. They can mail them in, or they can put them in one of the drop boxes. So we will have 34 drop boxes around the city mm-hmm. that our staff, who are civil service employees in Philadelphia, collect those ballots every single day and bring them to our election warehouse, where they will get date and time stamped and then secured in a locked cage.
Okay. And what's your role in all this? What do you do during this process, Seth?
Well, the commissioners serve as the Board of Elections, and it's our job to set the policies and the directives to have the staff follow them. So we work with our executive team to provide oversight of all of these procedures, and that is why it is so important that we have a bipartisan Board of Elections. And that's something I always want to make sure that we emphasize when we have these conversations, is that this is not, and I know Philadelphia's reputation, and I know it's a majority Democratic city, but Philadelphia has Republican representation on the board and amongst the executive team, and it is our job to make sure the elections are being run properly. And that's what we're doing every single day.
All right. Well, Seth, please certainly come back before the election. Let's hope for less humidity and rain out there with these envelopes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to come back.
Thank you. Tom. Thanks, Commissioner. Seth Bluestein here on Talk Radio 1210, 855-839-1210. We've spoken with Linda Kearns. I'm doing a Zoom call with her and the volunteers tonight that I'm really fired up about, and we'll have her on tomorrow to give you an update around this. All right, so you heard from one of the commissioners on this. People are eyeballing it, though, and you heard the process there. I still didn't get a full timeline out of this, but we're getting closer to it. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get on board. Kristen Welker, no fan of the Trump campaign, the Meet the Press woman. I just saw her on an interview saying she's been getting all kinds of text messages from Democrats who are panicked after last night. Well, they ought to be, seeing Walls tagged into this. Now, the VP debate doesn't matter significantly, usually. But in a close election like this, in a place like Pennsylvania, this has impact. J.D. Vance now has a different persona out there versus what the media did to him before. That's got to help. That's got to free him up more. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. You get on board. Side question today. The other day was National Coffee Day. So today, the side question is, hit us with something that is an acquired taste. It could be a person. It could be something you do. It can be a food. But don't just think foods. Coffee, definitely an acquired taste. I would say asparagus. I threw that one in just because I know people would blanch at it. I've seen online people trying to make the case that Yoko Ono is an acquired taste. That's gone many bridges too far. Many bridges. I can't see any universe where Yoko Ono could be an acquired anything.
To this day, are people acquired to her yet?
Like, no. Who is? Exactly right. But I'm trying to broaden this out that it would involve not just a food. Give us a person. Give us something people do that you think over the course of time is an acquired taste. Henry, what's yours?
Yeah, so I'll take two. One of the liquors I didn't really care for much in college was tequila.
Ah, okay.
Tequila, as I've gotten older, it has definitely been my go-to kind of liquor on a night out. And then going away from food and drink, how about foreign films, foreign movies? Bong Joon-ho.
That's a tough one, yeah?
Bong Joon-ho, when he won the Oscar for Parasite, part of his speech said, once you get past that one-inch layer of subtitles, a world of movies opens up to you. And I was like, oh, that's a good point. So I started watching more foreign films, and he's right. There are some really good ones out there.
That's a great example. See, I think it's more than just a language, so there's just cultural things you have to break through. All right, so we're looking for that. Don't just say a food. If you have a food that's a great one, we'll take that too. Give me your reaction. You heard the commissioner here in Philadelphia. You also heard Bill O'Reilly, 855-839-1210. You get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is push #1210. The big takeaway from O'Reilly, the Trump campaign feels they have the momentum. Their internal polling indicates what's happening here. Is they're going to win? Kind of far out to be making that prediction, I think. That's the type of stuff you might know a week out. But that's his insight from talking to Trump people. So I understand why he won't do the 60 Minutes interview. Coming up, I want to play you Don Jr. in the spin room. Must have been unbelievable last night with Caitlin Collins, making the point that the media does have responsibility at some level, however you want to shake it out, for these assassination attempts. It's an obvious thing. All right. Are you tired of relying on caffeine for a quick energy fix? There's a better way to revitalize your body from within. Introducing Orasine by Rescue Natural Supplements, the cellular energizer that helps your body produce its own natural fuel. Say goodbye to daily fatigue and hello to lasting energy. As a bonus, Orasine supports heart health and optimal blood pressure too. That's why you can't miss out on this exclusive radio offer. Buy one bottle of Orasine, get another absolutely free. Simply use the code FUEL when you place your order. Call today at 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a knowledgeable product consultant or use the code online when you visit res-q.com. That's res-q.com. Again, be sure to use that code FUEL, F-U-E-L, for this buy one, get one free offer on Rescue Orasine. Remember, use the code FUEL at res-q.com. Do it today. All right, Tom Giordano show. Hit us on the side question. I like Henry's. Dan with us now after some consultation. So, Dan, what's yours? An acquired taste.
One that Maisie introduced to me, Dom. It's something I'm kind of ashamed to admit, but not really. It's The Real Housewives. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I hated it at first, but as I started to watch it, I realized it was pretty much just women's version of wrestling. So I kind of watch it through that lens now, and I happen to enjoy it. Real Housewives of Salt Lake just kicked off, Tom. They got New York coming up.
It's Salt Lake.
Yeah, Salt Lake City. Yeah. The Mormons, you follow them. It's great.
By the way, watching Netflix yesterday, Mr. McMahon.
Yeah, you watched
Vince McMahon Jr. It's even worse. It's great, but I mean, he's even worse.
They're kind of him in the first episode, right?
Yeah. You know? Well, it's brutal, the whole background. Yeah, it's even worse. His childhood, et cetera. My God.
Yeah.
It's staggering.
And his father, not knowing his father. And
yeah, as much as I thought I knew wrestling, this is even a lot worse. Wow.
Going to take one more off the board, Dom?
Yes.
And this is because of you. Sir Tom Jones.
There you go.
At first, I made fun of you with the corny music and what's new, Pussycat, but after I listened to some covers and recognized the strength of the man's voice, I've acquired the taste.
Good. Tom Jones and Janet Joplin. I think we did a side question on that once. That you can't believe it, those two performing together. It's just...
You know I'm standing
by. It's probably the most 70s thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God. I mean, she was the epitome of hip, and he strikes me as Vegas.
Oh, there's afros, there's leisure suits.
Yeah, but it
tie-dye.
Worked.
Tie-dye.
Yeah, it worked big time.
Stick mics. Remember the stick mics?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, so that's the acquired taste. J.D. Vance, not much to nitpick at all last night. Did he offer a way forward on abortion for Republicans? Yes. You heard O'Reilly. The Trump people think the internal polling indicates where the momentum is. Now, they're looking at it. I don't doubt it. But I see Pennsylvania as incredibly close. So tonight I'll be speaking to listeners who are volunteers. We're going to be eyeballing what the commissioner told us.
So yes. On the topic of abortion, Vance talked about the Catholic doctors and not wanting to proceed with that. And I know you talked about that as well. But one of the top posts on Reddit for the whole debate and the politics, and remember this is the far left Reddit.
Yes.
Quote, should a Catholic hospital be forced to perform an abortion? They say, yes, doctors have a strict code of ethics. Your religion should not supersede the well-being of a patient. And that's one of the most upvoted posts from this entire debate.
Just the sheer... lack of any knowledge of anything with that. You know what the test is? It's the same thing with the morning after pill, but abortion is even worse. If the pharmacist, and there's another pharmacy next door, go and get it next door. Don't bother the guy who doesn't want to do it. If it's the only one within X number of miles and, you know, something like that, I understand. No, we're not going to force Catholic hospitals to do abortions because clowns on Reddit don't get freedom of religion. All right, so Riley Gaines is in the on-deck circle. She's coming to an event tonight in our area, and we'll catch up with her thoughts on the debate last night. This was textbook. You heard O'Reilly. He agrees with listeners on Twitter. They don't think Trump could do this. Why am I holding out hope? And I'm the one getting killed here saying I think Trump could do it. I just don't understand this. What's so different about Vance? 855-839-1210. I think it's relatively easy to go after moderators like this. And Vance did it perfectly last night. All right, big 1 o'clock hour next on Talk Radio 1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.